This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وقدوتنا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأزكى التسليم. اللهم أعلمنا بما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Everybody, welcome Saturday night to Who is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Going over explanation of Allah's beautiful names. And we're just a couple days away from Ramadan, so everyone's busy preparing. I'm going to keep this short, inshallah, and to the point. So Sheikh Abdul Razak, hafidhahullah, his next chapter is Al-Majid, Allah's name, Al-Majid, and this occurs twice in the Quran. Once in Surah Hud, Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahl al-bayti innahu hamidun majid. And then the second time in Surah Al-Buruj, wa huwa al-ghafurul wadud dhul arshil majid. Now you might say, wait a second, isn't Al-Majid describing the arsh there? And the answer to that is that there are two different qira'at, one of which Al-Majid is with a kasra, majroor, dhul arshil majidi, which means that the adjective Al-Majid describes the arsh, Allah's throne. But there is another qira'at, or a qira'at, there's another mode of recitation that is marfu' dhul arshil majidu. And in this qira'ah, al-majidu describes Allah and not his throne, and both are correct, obviously, in meaning. What does majid mean? It means that Allah is expansive and has grand characteristics. It means, if we're going to try to capture it in one word, maybe we could use robust. It means that Allah is not just great, but that He has a multitude of qualities. Allah is not simple or thin, right? Even though if the oneness of Allah is intuitive and simple to grasp, the nature and reality of Allah contains multitudes. Is vast, is expansive. It's not a simple thing in the sense of something being thin or almost like, you know, we would say something is too easy, right? We say somebody is a simpleton. Right, we use this term, and it's not a nice thing to say about somebody, but it communicates an idea that someone is overly simple. Something being too simple is not a praiseworthy characteristic, unless it has to do with somebody working to make difficult material simple for others to understand as a service. Right, but when it comes to an actual being, being too simple is something blameworthy, is something that is associated with a lack of intelligence or a lack of complexity or a lack of robustness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says many times in the Quran, قَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And there's a couple different ways to translate this. It could be understood as, you know, they don't believe very much. It could also be rendered as, and few are the things in which they believe. Right? Because if you really pin someone down who has false ideas about Allah, whether it's Christianity, whether it's idolatry, whether it's the New Age religions and, you know, sort of modern, quote-unquote, New Age spirituality, if you really boil it down to what do you actually believe, you'll find that there's very little there, thin, concepts, kind of vague, ambiguous notions of, you know, being yourself and following your heart and living life to the fullest, and these kind of mantras that we have in our modern society, right? They don't amount to very much. They don't give you very concrete guidance or guidelines for how to live your life. They don't tell you what's going to happen to your soul after you die. They don't tell you what to do when two kind of imperatives conflict, right? You want to be good to your parents, but you also, maybe they're committing some sort of wrong, right? You have two things that are kind of at odds, and you need to figure out how to balance the two imperatives, each of which, if taken alone by itself, is good. It doesn't give you enough refined or concrete guidance to deal with those sorts of issues. You know, we take pride in, and the companions took pride in, having many things to believe in. Some of the idolaters, they used to mock the Muslims for following a certain guidance for how to use, for, you know, how to use the bathroom. And this was something that the companions took pride in. Yes, we have guidance for everything, even how to use the bathroom, even how to wipe ourselves, even how to, be intimate with our spouses. Every single thing we have guidance for. And we also understand more about Allah and more about the hereafter and more about the Day of Judgment than any other community of faith, right? So this is something that is about robustness. Islam is robust. It's more robust than other faith traditions. The theology is more robust. The concept of who is Allah, the information we have about Allah. And perhaps a useful area to contrast is, well, one could say, well, Christianity has a lot of things. There's this mystery, it's the Trinity, and it's kind of like there's, you know, transubstantiation and all these sort of doctrines that are very difficult to understand, okay? So that's like a blameworthy complexity because it's counterintuitive. It is condemned by, you know, the kind of inherent disposition of people. It doesn't make any intuitive sense. And it doesn't really give you anything at the end of the day. Okay, what does it matter to me whether Allah is three or is one in Christianity, right? Within Christianity, it doesn't really have much to bear except for kind of just a doctrinal point. It's like, well, okay, so you have to believe in this and that's it. Whereas with Tawheed is simple in the sense that it reduces all those quote unquote complexities, which are really confusions, into one. Allah is one. But who is Allah? And we get into the names and the attributes. We find that it's very robust. It tells us much. It's both more simple or clear and thus intuitive, and also more robust and gives us more practical information about who Allah is. And this is a really, really interesting thing because a lot of people these days, when they're coming back to, you know, they realize that modern life in its atheist kind of rendition is soulless, and they feel something missing from their lives, spirituality and things like this. And this is a real thing that many, many people feel, and they reach out for some sort of religiosity. It can seem at first that getting involved in, for, you know, saint worship, where, like, for example, the Catholic tradition, where every single day has a saint and every single saint has a feast, and you pray to the saint for this and you pray to the saint for that, you know, polytheism, really, idolatry. And then other self-described traditions of idolatry, where you have this God for this and this feast for this day. And this, it seems at first that there's a lot there and that this is a robust, rich tradition. But if you boil it down to the information about what's going on in the world of the unseen and what's your duty towards it specifically and what to do when certain imperatives collide and contradict each other, then you'll find that actually these traditions are very thin and they don't really have a lot to go off of. And in fact, what's underneath of them is a lack of accountability and a thinness that betrays the human interest or the interest of the ego that's behind these sorts of systems. So Al-Majid is the opposite of that. Al-Majid is that Allah is robust. Okay. simple, intuitive to grasp in the sense that the intellect that Allah gave us doesn't reject it, but robust in the sense that there's a lot there. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of practical takeaways, things to meditate on and to chew on and to come back to and remember. Allah being Al-Majid means that He has great ownership and authority. And scholars such as Ibn al-Qayyim have pointed out that, like in the verse in Surah Hud that we recited, Al-Majid is most suitably paired with Al-Hamid, just like in that ayah. And also, when we make the tashahud, we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka Hamidun Majid. Because these two names are very, very close to one another. Okay, Majid being robust, having many, many qualities that are meaningful and important, which leaves us with a sense of awe and hope and trust. Trust because Allah is so robust and so significant and so powerful that any sort of task or issue is nothing in front of Him, Azza wa Jal. And then Hamid, because He is also His sheer number of qualities of bounty and magnificence is all exceedingly praiseworthy, deserving of all praise. So the robustness of Al-Majid, we could say, results in His name Al-Hamid, the one who is deserving of all praise, the most praiseworthy, which was the previous chapter. The next chapter, we have two names, Ash-Shakur and Ash-Shakir, both of which mean the thankful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the thankful. Ash-Shakur occurs four times in the Quran. First in Surah Fatir, لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Again in Surah Fatir later on, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنُ إِنَّ رَبَّنَا لَغَفُورٌ Shakur. Also in Surah Shura, وَمَنْ يَقْتَرِفْ حَسَنَةً نَزِدْ لَهُ فِيهَا حُسْنًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. And then in Surah Taghabun, إِنَّ تُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعِفْهُ لَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ شَكُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. So we have four times, three of which they're paired with Ghafoor, and one of which they're paired with Haleem, which, as we know from before, they all of those have to do with forgiveness, different types of forgiveness. So we have Shakur paired with forgiveness, and then we have Shakir, which occurs twice in the Quran. وَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ, Surah Al-Baqarah, and then Surah Al-Nisa. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. So this is both times paired with His knowledge, Alim. So we have Shakur, Ghafurun Shakur, Shakir Alim. What does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is thankful? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, keeps track of all of our good deeds. And this is an amazing blessing that fills us with hope and gratitude, because to know that the things that you do, the good deeds that you struggle to perform, and the sins that you struggle to avoid, all of that, knowing with certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward you for it, that He's not going to forget it, He's not going to lose track of it, He's not going to compensate you meagerly for those things, that's an enormous blessing. It's extremely encouraging. And it gives us the strength to carry on. And if you want to understand the reality of this aspect of this name, then consider how we look to the creation for affirmation and thanks. And how that affirmation and thanks that we get from the creation is never enough. And it always leaves us disappointed. Think about married life, for those of you who are married. If you work on yourself, or you do chores, or you help out at home, or you anything that you do, if you're doing it in a transactional way, where your intention is to receive thanks and appreciation from your spouse, then most of us are going to be disappointed time and time again. Because human beings have quite a bit of ingratitude built into them. What ends up happening is that the spouse gets frustrated that they're not being recognized and thanked for what they do. And so they tend to act out. Maybe they stop doing it all of a sudden in spite. Maybe they remind or nag the other one. Or they get into an argument and they bring up all those things that they do. Kind of kills it. It ruins your reward in the hereafter. If you have been doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, hoping for a reward from him who is a shakur, he kept track of it, he noticed, then your reward would be safe. But if you seek it from your husband or your wife or your parents or your children or anybody else in this dunya, they're going to disappoint you. Partly because human beings develop expectations. If you perform at a certain level, people are going to get used to it. And they're going to start to take it for granted. Vast majority of people are like this. We judge things relatively, right? There's a, what's the Shakespeare play? I can't remember, but one of the characters, he lives a life of debauchery. He's out partying, this and that, whatever. But it's all with a purpose. This is the humor of it. Because he's preparing himself for the day when he's going to become king, and he's planning on making a transformation. And his logic is that, and he has a point, that if people have come to expect this sort of behavior, reckless behavior, squandering behavior from him, then when he kind of sobers up and comes to and starts to do things right, it's going to look like a magnificent transformation, even if he just does, stops the bad, right? He does have a point. Human beings build expectation. And they often judge people in a relative sense to what those expectations are. So if you're performing at a high level and you develop that reputation, some people are going to be expecting that from you. And then aren't going to be as appreciative of it. Not Allah's not like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his sense of compensation and reward is absolute. Right? The scales aren't tipped by bias or ingratitude. No, this is exactly what Allah's name is Shakur means. Allah is grateful. Allah is thankful. He appreciates those things that you do, those things that you struggle with. And it's never going to go unappreciated or unthanked. If we want to see an example of this, look at how Allah promised us that he would remove from the fire of hell anyone with even a speck's worth of faith. Doesn't that show that even the smallest bit of good Allah is appreciative of it and will not let it be extinguished and will not let it be overcome or drowned out or erased by even the iniquity and sin that someone else has done. So reflecting on the fact that Allah is Shakur and Shakir, it teaches us to have appreciation and to be thankful, because this is a quality that we want to embody. This is a quality that is attainable in some degree. We don't want to be like those average people who take things for granted. We want to be appreciative. We want to be thankful. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever does not thank the people, he doesn't thank Allah. They're transferable skills. They go hand in hand. And so we have to make sure, wherever we are, that we are not taking the people in our lives for granted. Whether it's the janitor that cleans the toilets, or the people who are your coworkers, your parents, your teachers, the people who set you up for success, the people whose shoulders upon which you stand, we have to be grateful for them, and we have to be appreciative to them, and to reach out and to thank people. We also have to be unassuming. We can't expect anything, because as we talked about earlier, developing expectations can actually lead us to be ungrateful, right? We can't expect anyone to do anything for us. We can't expect anyone to give us any respect. Really, it's hard, but it's true. The more unassuming we are, the more we will allow ourselves to be surprised by the goodness of others, and the more appreciative we'll be. ذلك والله تعالى أعلم. And that's all for tonight. I bid you good night and farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.